and get it all started this morning, as we had for Sunday school. As was made mention in our comments and our prayers this morning, we do realize we're a little bit low in number, which is okay. We have several that are traveling, several that are still making their way in, and we also are dealing with sickness. But I hope that everyone here today is excited about what God has done for us this week. I don't know about you all, but I have really enjoyed the messages that we got to enjoy with Brother Liebrook when he was here this past Friday night, and I enjoyed every minute of it, and I pray the Lord will just continue to bless. Last week, we began our services by looking at Revelation chapter 20, and we called it In the Millennia. And so we want to continue on with that particular thought. Now, normally, on the first service, we've been doing the Psalms chapter 119, and we've been looking also at the Hebrew letters. If the Lord shall allow, next week I want to pick up from there, and we'll continue on with our studies. But the only reason that I decided to divert over to this one is because I don't want to lose traction on where we're at with the millennia. Now, again, I'm not trying to get in the face of anyone that holds contrary beliefs to what we hold to or what I like to study as well. But let me just say this, is that even with all that goes on, we should be aware that Jesus is coming soon. And I've got to think about this as well, is that, we could try to say we fit in this area or we fit in that area, but if it keeps me from looking for the coming of the Lord, then there's something that's wrong with that theology. If I'm looking for the Antichrist over the Christ, then again, that's where I find like it's wrong as well. So we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to read the first six verses again. Where we left off last week, and we're going to be looking at one more time what it means for the millennial reign of Christ. Now looking at verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Let us pray. Again, Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity to stand before the congregation, and I pray, Lord, that while we have more than maybe tuning in and listening to the message today, I pray that, Father, that you will bless all that are listening, all those that are partaking, and, Lord, that you will continue to bless. We want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house, and I pray, Father, that you will give me strength to preach the word as you see fit. So guide us and bless us and lead us now. In Christ we pray. Amen. Now, last week I introduced to everyone the idea that the first three chapters of the introduction of the book of Revelation all reflects upon the period of time, and that there was a specific reason why the Lord chose the seven churches that he did to write to. Now, again, There are many other churches that are in Asia Minor. There were many other churches that were in Galatia. We remember this, is that Derbe, Lystrum, and Iconium were the first three churches that were established by Paul and Barnabas when they had their mission works. We read that beginning in Acts chapter 13. And we found later that he would make his way towards, he had the design to go more westward, but the leading of the Holy Spirit was to lead him on eastward. We also know that there were certain churches that were established. Philadelphia, we know that one very well. And when we talk about the Philippian jailer, we also know that there was works that were done in Ephesus and so on and so forth. But every one of those churches, as we begin to take a look at the attribute and the aspect of it, were not the ones that the Lord singled out. And I, again, believe, that there are these seven churches which are in a compass direction. If you start at one, you go all the way around in the compass direction going clockwise, and you go one to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. And every one of those churches represented a period of time that they were going to face, and what we understand is going to be faced as well in the leadership of the world. Now let me just say this, that I am a firm believer that we are presently in the Laodicean period, a lukewarmness that occurs. And what I mean by that is, think about this, if we go back to the middle 1800s all the way up to in the middle 1900s, we had tent meetings, we had church houses that could not contain the number of people, there was great expansion, there was a lot of preaching, there was all kinds of things that were being blessed. In fact, the church that helped establish this one, Pollard Baptist Church in Ashland, Kentucky, is no longer in existence, and yet at one time they had over 1,500 members. And so when I tell people this, they say, well, what happened to that church? The period of that time of that church was already done with, and now it's our responsibility to continue on the work. So with that in mind, I want you to get this about what we see in Revelation chapter 20 about the specificness of time. And this is what we want to look at as well. Now, the Greek word for years is ektos, or E-T-O-S, as we would burn it, as we would spell it. And it literally means years. And so a lot of times people like to say, well, it doesn't really mean a period of time. Well, it does in this particular area. But it also shows to me the inabilities of Satan to be able to withstand or even have anything like the attributes of God. Remember, the primary attributes of God are going to always begin with the word omni. We have an omniscience, which is omniscience, or all knowledge. We have omnipotent, which means all powerful. We also have the all presence, the omnipresence of God, which means that he can be anywhere and everywhere at the same time. Satan does not have that ability. But Satan has the ability within himself to be able to bring all the other demons around about him. If I look over in the book of Ezekiel, let's go over to Ezekiel just for a moment, chapter 28. In Ezekiel chapter 28, I'll get over there real quick myself, we find that there was a calling that was brought out regarding who he was. Let's go down to verse 14. Ezekiel chapter 28, let's go down to verse 14, notice what it says. Thou art the anointed that by the multitude of the merchandise, they have filled the midst of me with violence, and have sinned this. Now think about this. It says in Genesis 1:1, and God created the heaven and the earth. Now if God created the heaven and the earth, then the first thing we have to ask ourselves is, what does it mean in the order that we see it. God created heaven and earth first, and all that therein was in heaven, and he created the earth after. Now, what if the first creature that God created was Lucifer the angel, the covering cherub? Mind you, if Lucifer was a covering cherub and his place would have been above, then would have seen God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and Lucifer. And so in reality is, Lucifer would have this conniving, convincing message where he would say, I'm just like God. I was with God in the beginning. You know, and really, he would twist the message such that the other angels that fell with him also believed what he had to say. Now, I don't know, because the scripture doesn't give me any indication when this all happened. But the reality is that there was a third of the angels that followed after Satan, and he was dragged down to this earth. There's a lot of people that they wonder when Satan came in. If you go to Ken Ham, he believes that Satan actually came to this earth somewhere between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. He also believes that we see that in the discourse of what goes on. But now I want you to think about this for a moment. I really believe that Satan was cast to the earth between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. The main reason is because it says, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And any time you see darkness, that represents evil, that represents wickedness, and I believe that Satan was there. Now watch this also, that's important. We're in Revelation chapter 20, and notice that Satan does not have the ability to withstand the requirements of God. Look again, I want you to see this. In verse 1 it says, and he laid hold on confusion and confoundment. Here's the other thing that's interesting. When Satan is bound and he's put in the prison for 1,000 years, that bottomless pit, if you will, he is not. Show where these guys are up in Alaska and Montana and North Carolina and in the Ozark Mountains, and they talk about, you know, the handiwork of God. Well, let me just say this. As beautiful as this world is, it cannot even hold to the beauty that was with the earth in the beginning when God first created. I believe in a canopy, and I've seen, you know, a certain element of how beautiful it is. Imagine the northern lights as we see them today, only being covered in the moon. Imagine the colors of the rainbow. Now, people might turn around and say, well, how do you believe that? Well, if you ever take light and shine it through a prism, you get the coloration. You get the breakdown of what we call the rainbow. The water. The rainbow come back out. The reason is that water serves as a filter to break down the light molecules or the light spectrum, if you will. And so the reality is that we don't know how beautiful the earth was. But in the restoration, and this is the other thing about the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation is not just about bringing and turning their attention upon Israel, but it's bringing the world back together, because it says the mountains have fled away, the islands will flee away, and so you have everything that is brought into place such that the Antichrist and the armies of this earth will want to rise up against the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we have the victory. There's another thing that I find that is absolutely amazing. There is absolutely a condition of promise that we can see. Let's turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And let's go to chapter 2, and we're going to go down to verse 12. Now, last week we kind of brought a little bit of detail here. But let's go on and see what it says. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also if we deny him, he will also. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 5, and let's go to verse 20. Revelation chapter 5, and let's go to verse 20. Oh, excuse me. Verse 10, I said verse 20. And he has made unto us our in Revelation 20. The ruling and the reigning have not happened yet. And even though got to be very careful that we don't try to lay hold on. I want you to get that. The promise of Palestine, the promise of that scripture that says Genesis chapter 15, those promises belong to Israel. They don't belong to Israel. Six now, back up a little bit, you know, a little further. Revelation chapter 6. Let's go down to verse 9. Once again, this is when the seals are being broken open. This is the worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, if you ever read the book of Revelation, and you read And verse 9 it says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw we have been blessed in the time that we live that we are not under direct persecution. I've heard so many preachers that they have said that persecution is going to return. I have no doubt that it's going to return. How will we stand up? There was an issue with one of the places that we leased out in the company that I work for, and I went in, I had a dress shirt on, had my dress pants on, things like that, and immediately one of the guys said, well, it looks like you just came from church. I said, well, thank you, I appreciate that, but this is the way I normally hang around when I don't have anything else to do. I, you know, kind of dress up from now and then. And one of the ladies goes, well, preacher, how's everything going today? Now, I don't think they meant any disrespect by what they were saying, but now think about this for a moment. They were so alarmed. Someone in a dress shirt, dress pants, dress shoes, that they automatically associated that with Christianity. Now think about that for a moment. They knew my testimony and they immediately associated that with Christianity. And maybe they took it lightly that being a man of God in the present age that we live in. But now think about this for a moment. The testimony of these individuals, they endure through the they endure you think about this for a moment. How many, and I say this to people a lot of times, like if they want to become a manager or a leader, you know, in an organization, I'll say, do you feel like you're qualified to be a leader? I've been asked to be a pastor of a church, one of the questions that comes down is this question. Do you feel qualified? Do you feel worthy to be a pastor? Any man that says he feels worthy to be a pastor is a better man than me. And not only that, he's too full of pride. Listen to me. He's too full of pride. Reality is if a person is going to follow after the things of God, they should have a humility about them that they're depending upon the Lord. And that's going to lead me into the message a little bit later today when we speak of learning of love. But look at verse 11. And the white robe was given to every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest the season until the The day is going to come when this body shall leave this life. And when I leave the body, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I was saying about this as Brother John Lightbrook was preaching the other this past Friday night. And I want you to think about what has to happen to us. It isn't going to be the color of our skin. It's not going to be our association. All of these things are going to occur in the greatness of God's power. Look at verse 51. Behold, we shall... It's going to return to the dust. Jesus has already walked in victory. We shall also walk in victory. Alright? So now, let's go back over to the book of Revelation. And if that's in mind, then we also know that the completion of what we call the millennial reign leading up into the book of Revelation is going to occur. But I want to show you something else that's interesting. Let's turn back to Revelation chapter 20. And in Revelation chapter 20, go down to verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. During that millennial reign, there are two things that are going on. This is the one area that everybody asks me about. Then many times they'll say, well, what do you hold to when it comes to the Old Testament? The Old Testament is not completely fulfilled. Please let this be known. The Old Testament is still not completely fulfilled. Already we've seen the fulfilling of the birth of Christ. We've already seen the fulfilling of the life of Christ. We have seen even the fulfilling of Jesus Christ when He died upon the cross of Calvary. But there's still a lot more, especially like what we see in the book of Zechariah, that's still to happen. Let's go down to verse 16, and notice what it says. And it shall come to pass that every one shall... Read that again. This is Zechariah. It hasn't happened yet. And it says, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of the nations, meaning those that survived out of great tribulation, which came against Jerusalem, meaning those people that wanted to destroy Jerusalem, to follow after the beast and everything that he had to say, shall even go up year to year to and the Lord shall keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that people being rebellious, they see Jesus Christ. Here's the thing that a lot of people miss out. There are two things that happen in this book. Number one, we're easily, but even with the deeds of the flesh. Anyone here ever who make have you ever goes, and this was back in the day, he said, man, I had just started watching that Ponderosa, that Bonanza that's on TV, and boy, I sure do like what I see on TV, and I sure do like Bonanza. And that, for him, was a worthy enough excuse to miss the house of God because he would prefer to watch a TV program. It's not going to happen. But I want you to get this. Look what else it says. And if the family of Egypt go not up. So those families that want to rebel against Jesus, they're not going to get any rain. But what if... That is a physical feast. That will occur during the thousand-year reign of Christ. Now, what else do we see? Not only that, turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. And the first time I saw this, I struggled over it. I struggled and I struggled and I struggled over it. And I can show you why I struggled over these things as we get there. Let's go down to verse 17. Here is the reason that I struggled. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not remember nor come into mind. That verse does not say, I have created. It does not say, I have created a new heaven, new earth. We don't see that till Revelation 21. But he goes, I will create a new heaven and new earth. But until that time, look what it says in verse 18. But be ye glad. You know, our own family has been affected by the death of a child at birth. We have all faced, one time or another, the death of a child at birth. But listen to what it says. Nor in other words, that thousand years, there's going to be a lot of older people that are going to be around. But a thousand years, they will still be spry, and they'll be ready to move forward for the things of God. They have not received their glorified bodies yet. Get this. They have not received their glorified bodies. For the child shall die 100 years. That was the one thing that a lot of people asked. What does that mean? Do you realize, now get this. Get this real clearly. That there will be those that will be born during the millennial reign of Christ, left over from the nations that had survived great tribulation, that still won't believe in Jesus as their Savior. And it says here, 100 years will be the test. Imagine how hard that will be. They will see Jesus every day. You know, I love the way, can you imagine me sitting down, and I love teaching kids. I really do. Can you imagine me sitting down with a group of young people? And I said, well, today we've got a special guest. And this special guest that we have is going to tell us a little bit about what it was like to live in the time of Genesis. And he's going to talk about the building of a great ship we know as the Ark. Noah. Can you imagine? Today. We have someone here. And teach him the way. And he wrote the Joseph, come on in here and tell us the story. And even though many will hear the truth of Jesus Christ, can you imagine me speaking about Jesus Christ, and he appears? Can you imagine recreating the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus appears? But instead of Moses and Elijah communicating, they sit down as Jesus speaks. And yet, through all of that, they will not receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. When I tell people that even though they see the nail-scarred prints, even so they see the wound in his side, even though they see the plaited crown, they will not believe. Do you remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? What did the rich man say? Send Lazarus. That a man by the name of Lazarus was raised from the dead, and they still would not believe? In fact, they tried to kill Lazarus again. But here's the thing, it's beautiful. There shall be no more offense and infinite days. If they will not receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, they shall die at 100 years of age. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. In other words, because they have not believed, they will die. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. In other words, there will be a great time of great rejoicing. That is everything that we see regarding the tribulational period that we see there. So during this 1,000-year bondment of what we see in Revelation chapter 20, though there's 1,000 years that Satan is going to be bound and not allowed to come upon the earth, we shall see still a rebellion against the things of God, because that is going to still be sinners born upon this earth. And what's interesting, when Satan is released, what is going to happen? Satan is then still such a mad. To rebel against Almighty God, and he will take those that also have rebelled and not trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Savior and go up against Almighty God. We will see that, Lord's willing, the next time we're together. And so, we want to finish off by making this last statement. Let's go to Luke chapter 16, and we'll conclude with the reading of this verse. Luke chapter 16, and let's go down to verse 27. This is what I just read, or just made mention of. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. I have five brothers unto them, lest they should also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses, and they have the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Isn't it interesting? Not only did Lazarus raise from the dead, but Jesus rose from the dead. And though they have the evidence, they still don't believe. Lord's willing, we will pick up here next week, and we'll finish up our study as we continue on. We're going to be dismissed in a final word of prayer. Lord, thank you again for your blessings. Now go with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. We're dismissed.